blood of Jesus Christ and the power of His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the fountain from within, the river of life, His indwelling Spirit, the power of that indwelling Spirit. Never ceased to amaze me the truth in Scripture that spoke of a divide between the promised nation, people of Israel, and the Gentile nations, and the divide and the bitterness and the resentment, the hatred between them. That when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, when the Jews were filled with the Holy Ghost, and then the Gentiles were filled with the Holy Ghost, it broke down the middle wall of partition. And those who were not a people became the people of God. We should never underestimate what God can do in changing the very fabric of our makeup, who we have been. The things that were passed on to us through the observance of the behavior and attitude even of our families when we were children. Oh, what the Holy Ghost can do. I've commented that I've been doing a slow study of the book of Ruth. I want to explain what I mean by that. Why don't you bring up the first book, the first chapter? There's four chapters in the book of Ruth. And I was drawn several months back, and I have been doing a slow study. I want to show you again what I mean by a slow study. Any chance? Oh, there it is. Okay. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Slow study. When was that? When was it that the judges ruled? Do your own study. That there was a famine in the land. Circumstances, conditions had eroded from a place of fullness, a time of fullness. This is actually speaking of the promised land. And there was famine in the promised land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. Why Bethlehem of Judah? Because this is when the nations were divided. Israel and Judah was divided. And these people were a part of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Okay, so where is Moab? Who were the Moabites? I'm talking about a slow study. There's reason why these things were written. He and his wife and his two sons. Let's go to verse 2. This is as far as I think we're going to go. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. The name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites. What are they? Descendants of Ephraim. Who was he? Go back and do a study. A slow study, and come to an understanding, and let the Spirit of God talk to you about this writing, about this recorded book of Ruth. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Now, I've been compelled to look and to search with the understanding first that God's wanting to reveal things to me personally as I look. But because of my place of involvement, I also know there will come a release to minister. And I'm still waiting. I've been waiting for 2 months. The Spirit of God allowing, we may touch a piece of this. It's already been revealed in this service today that as we begin to sing about the blood and your response to what the Spirit of God was quickening, it's revealed on your face. It's revealed in your expression, the importance and the meaningfulness of your reliance on His blood. And when the Spirit of God quickens it, you know this is a reminder from the Lord. This is a beckoning from the Lord. This is a petition from the Lord. Look to my blood. I know your circumstances. I see your dilemma. I see your guilt. I see the oppression. Look to my blood. Be cleansed in my blood. Be washed in my blood. Walk in the liberty of my blood. The victory of your experience in me. I see, I know, I'm aware. And that's why I went to the cross. Shed, poured out my blood. Bethlehem, Judah was a promised land. Bethlehem, Judah should be the place of glory. But the time when the judges ruled, if you remember, was a time when the people of God would honor and worship and obey God. But through whatever time, circumstance, neglect, they would fall away from worshiping God. And then He would have to send circumstances as a reminder to get them to turn back. And in their turning back, they would call out to Him and He would raise up a deliverer. He'd raise up a Gideon. He'd raise up a Samson. He would raise up a Deborah. And these were judges that ruled in the land. And this cycle that continued through the people of God. And so during this season of time, a famine came into the promised land. And rather than look to God and appeal to God, they looked elsewhere. They didn't just look elsewhere. They looked to the land of Moab, a pagan country. A pagan nation. If you went back in history, you'd recognize that there was a time when Israel began to, the scripture says it this way, went a-whoring after the Moabitish women. And then there was judgment that came back then. And so there was a divide between the people of Israel and the people of Moab. And here now, a family, because of dried up conditions, business deals gone south, things just not working out the way that they had planned, they started to look to a place that the grass seemed to be greener. And so it was that they traveled to the land of Moab. Now, that's not the part that I want to draw your attention to here today. Because that is the human challenge. That's the human element. That's carnality allowing to prevail and making your choices and your decisions by the carnal mind. Now, we are all guilty of that one time or another. And everybody said, amen. When Jesus came, he didn't come to impute their trespasses unto them. The Spirit of God is not here to reveal to us the multitude of our mistakes, bad choices, stupid decisions. Because there's times when what the enemy meant for evil, God would step in and use for good. He might stand back and watch the calamity and just let it go because, they're going to learn through this. They're going to learn through this. But at some point, there's an intervention. There's the stepping in of God. And he takes what the enemy meant for good, or evil, sorry, and makes it not just good, but to bring the accomplishing of his purpose. You talk about things going from bad to worse. You know, honey, I've been thinking, let's move on down to Moab. I've been hearing. There's, you know, the building industry is booming and auto sales are on the rise and everything's working out and people are making money and making bank and they're doing great. And look at it. Well, faithful wife as she was. All right, let's get the boys, pack them up, and we'll head on down to Moab. You know, now, that's a big deal for a woman to trust a man. Right. When he says, let's leave town and let's move not just across the river, out of our country into another country, a foreign country. And did. And after being there a season, Elimelech gets sick. What's going on? What happened? I don't know, baby. I don't know. I'm just not feeling. And he's out. He's gone. And now she's a widow with two sons in a foreign land. Right. Out from the promised land into a pagan land. What do we do? What do we do? And over time, 10 years of time, her sons start looking at the Moabite women. And one of them marries Orpah. And the other one marries Ruth. And so now in a foreign land, in a pagan land, her two sons have just married pagan women, Moabites. And if things couldn't go from bad to worse, the two sons died. I mean, what kind of thoughts is Naomi dealing with now? What have we done? Where are we? Now, I'm sure there's nobody here in the room that you've ever had situations that just seem to keep, you know. And you wondered if that season would ever come to an end. But here you are, breathing, kicking, probably drove here in a car, probably slept in a bed last night, probably eat this afternoon. Now, at some point in time, word got to Naomi. Things had improved in Bethlehem, Judah. Economy was back up again. People were doing well. And so she resolves, just like the young man that was feeding the swine in the pig pen, it's time to go home. I'm going to go home. And she does. Starts that trek. Very shortly after they left, she begins to encourage the two Moabitish women. Why don't you return to your mother's homes? Why don't you return to your people? It would be better for you. Isn't it interesting that she would point out that it was literally the hand of God that was against her? And that all these difficulties were happening because God's hand was pressing against them. You know, when we think that the answer to the results of disobedience is to run. It was their disobedience that brought the famine. The results. When we choose to run and just and go further and try to get away from that, you think it's going to improve somewhere down the line? When God's got divine purpose for you, a divine place for you, do you think really that things are going to improve? And they didn't. And so finally, an attitude of repentance prevails. I'm going to go home. And all the way home, her communication turns to how it's been the hand of God that's pressed against her. Now she's trying to rescue the two Moabite girls. You keep associating with me, and I'm telling you, things have not gone well, and I got no promises for the future. And so Orpah, she leaves. She goes home, back to her, listen how she said it, back to her people, back to her gods. But Ruth is compelled. A pagan girl, a Moabite woman, is compelled to say, no, I want to go with you. I want to stay with you. I want your people to become my people. I want your God to become my God. And we see a transition. Now, what's interesting is the favor of God returns to Naomi as she turns back to her people, to her land, to her God. The favor of God. And then the favor of God begins to shine upon this Moabite girl. Eventually, she will marry Boaz. Elimelech's relative. Eventually, they'll begin to have children. This Ephrathite and this Moabite will begin to have children. They'll have a son by the name of Obed. Time will pass on and Obed will marry and he will begin to have children and will have a son by the name of Jesse. more time will pass and Jesse will get married and he will begin to have many sons, and one of them by the name of David, who will become the king. Oh, but you know, sometimes it's just in the genetics. Yeah, David ran into some challenges too. He was a human. They treated him like he was an angel, but he was human. And he ends up in an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. Well, surely that would just put everything to an end, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that just put everything to the end? Even though it might have been in the plan of God all along that he would use this Moabitish girl to bring these people into being. You mean use that whole deal with Elimelech and his wife who were caught up with the conditions and running from God and going to a pagan land? You mean God would use all those circumstances to bring out his purpose and his will? And that through the lineage of David and Bathsheba would come Christ? You think that was a mistake? You think that was happenstance? Listen to me. We judge ourselves too hard. You're the best human there ever was. Yeah. You're perfectly human.
Yeah, you're not an angel. No matter what your mother told you.
You're perfectly human. You made human mistakes. You will make human mistakes. You'll make stupid choices. And what the enemy means for evil, God will take it and do good. Keep our hearts surrendered to him. Keep our hearts surrendered to him. Trust him. Believe him. Be thankful for that precious blood that was shed. As he looked ahead in time and he said, I saw that, I knew that. I knew you in your darkest hour. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I know we start singing about the blood and you start musing over your mistakes and you're thinking, God, yes, yes, yes. Because those things still come back to haunt you in your mind. Let him take you into your future. Stand with me. Is Kaylee there? Okay. Let's pray. Let's be thankful right now. Come on, express some thanks. You who saw me from the beginning, Lord. You whose pen is still in your hand. You being the author and the finisher. You who has turned the pages of time in our lives. I trust my present to you. I trust my past to you. I give my future to you. In the name of Jesus. 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 It was destiny It was destiny that brought Ruth to Bethlehem, Judah. It was destiny that brought Ruth to Boaz. It was destiny that would participate in the future of his people. She, a girl from nowhere, was by divine purpose and design that God would accomplish some things in his kingdom in the way that he saw fit. You know, when I first met Jeremy Casa in Kent, I said, "Jeremy, man, where are you from?" He said his mother had come to Kent, was there, and had been recently baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. I would watch her. She would sit there and worship in the services, and I would observe Jeremy as he would give himself in prayer. I felt something, and I communicated to Jeremy in the first few days that I met him. I said, "Jeremy, the Lord is going to take you back to that island." He's Chuuk, C-H-U-U-K. He says they speak Chuukese, kind of like Chuck E. Cheese. And he'd say, "Oh, no, no, Bishop, no, no, I said, "Jeremy, I'm telling you, you will go there, you will minister. I'm not saying you're going to stay there. You will go there and you will minister. I see that. I've seen it from the day that I met you." Now, he's from a little island in Micronesia. Here he is in Seattle. And the Lord is using him. He told me a couple weeks ago he got a phone call from a cousin. Cousin called and said, "Listen, I've gathered up a group of young people. They're all from Chuuk. Would you come and share the Bible and teach us?" He said, "Should I go?" I said, "Go. Are you kidding me?" And so he did. And he said they just sat there with their mouths open. They were just so hungry as we just read through the scriptures and I began to explain and talk with them. You know, they had a picnic last week. They all came out to the picnic. Man, there was a bunch of them there. And he said as he left the picnic, they've asked me to come every other Saturday and speak to them and teach them out of the Bible. People from the place of his origin in the South Pacific, a little island in Micronesia. Now I'm telling you, you think you're here by happenstance? You don't think he has ordained your future? And as we surrender and yield ourselves wholly to him, we will discover and we will see. This was his plan. This was his purpose all along. In all the difficulties and the evil situations and all the things that maybe even you think you've ran from, No. It's his purpose. And this is why he constantly reminds us, "Look to my blood. Look to my blood. Let it wash you. Let it cleanse you. Let it make you anew and afresh so that you can see what I see, that you can think what I think, so that I can lead you in your life and you won't disqualify and separate yourself. And my plan is perfect for you."
Lord is my shepherd, he goes before me.
Come and present yourself before Him. Come on, stand yielded.
My cup's overflowing.
Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord Jesus.
No weapon can harm.
Whatever it is that you see, Lord, I don't know. But I have a confidence and a trust in you, Lord. Divorce. My mother married an Italian from Newark, New Jersey. And for 15 years, I spent 3,000 miles away from my destiny. Come on, put your circumstances in His hand. Put your circumstances in His hand. Come on, let Him order your steps. Stand yielded to Him.
His joy is refreshing. Restores my soul. Mercy.
Yeah. Somebody needs to hear me say this. Father Abraham, faithful Father Abraham, whom God had called to come out from his people, took his nephew Lot with him. And through the eventuality of time, became separated from him and chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. Would end up living in the city of Sodom that would bring eventually the judgment of God to destroy a city, but send an angelic deliverance to get Lot out of there because of Abraham. His wife being turned to a pillar of salt. He and his two daughters escaping out of that place. His daughters getting him drunk for fear that now there were no men that they could carry on their lineage by having children. Had an incestuous relationship with their father and had a son by the name of Moab. And these are where the Moabites came from. That eventuality, God would work his purpose and his will through the most extreme circumstances to bring about the Christ who would shed that blood that we sang about earlier today. Hear me, there is no circumstance so extreme that God can't take the evil of it and make good of it.
Yes, hallelujah.
Come on, let's sing it to the Lord.
Your spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me, my victory, your spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me, my victory, your spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace.
I receive your peace right now, Father. Peace about my situation. Peace about my direction, Father. In the name of Jesus, I receive your word, Father, that you know the thoughts you have toward me. In the name of Jesus, I receive it today. I stand upon the promises of your word. Silence the voice of doubt right now in this room in the name of Jesus. I pray silence the voice of the enemy from this day forward in the name of Jesus. Let the voice of your word prevail, Father. Every day that I open it and read it, let it prevail in my life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Sergi, can you throw Exodus 7 and 3 up there real quick? I think is where it's at. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. Everybody say I. I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. He told them. We look at difficult times that people go through in the Bible. You look at the plagues that the Lord poured out upon the land of Egypt and all that he was trying to do. And we say, oh man, can you imagine that? Can you imagine living through that and all that? You look at Moses and Aaron going in and throwing a rod down and turning into a serpent. Pharaoh's magicians coming in, throwing their rod down. Aaron's rod devouring it, them picking the snake up, holding it, turning it back into a rod. All the things that happened. But at the beginning, before they ever stood in front of Pharaoh, he gave them this hope. This is my work. I'm going to harden hearts. Why? We need you to work a miracle. We need you to let your people go. Oh, that'll happen. But I need to show you, Moses, and I need to show you, Aaron, I need to show my people the miraculous. And when they're standing on the other side of the Red Sea here in a few weeks, months, and they watch that water come back in. And when you say, you're going to lift up your voice, Moses, and you're going to say, the enemy that you see today, you're going to see no more. My people are going to know it was my hand. It wasn't anybody else that did it but God. I'm telling somebody that you're sitting here today and you're looking back over your life and all these things that you saw as negatives and hiccups and road bumps and roadblocks, and you're realizing that was nothing more than the hand of God that was using all of those things to bring me to where I'm at today. You know how many things I've gone through in life that people who look at me and know me see them as negatives? People look me in the eye and said, I'm sorry that happened to you. That was wrong. That should have never happened to you. It's okay. God allowed it. He said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. God allowed it to happen to me. so that he could put me here. He had to get me out of some things. And the only way he was going to get me out of some things was to take me through some really difficult things that others would look at and say, that's going to destroy him. That could potentially derail him. God said, no, 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 I've got faith. I've got a confidence in him. Just look out. He can't see it today, but let's look 15 years down the road. Let's look 20 years down the road, and I'll show you what this is all about. You see, in the middle of all of some of those things, I didn't necessarily have that attitude all times. Sometimes you have to battle a little bit of bitterness. You have to battle the whys. Every now and then you get a case of the whys. It's contagious. The why. Because you don't always know why. You don't always understand why. But when you're standing on the other side and you look back and he allows you, there's moments in time. Those moments in time have been in this room today that he allows you to see back over things. And you see it from his perspective. That was your hand. I thought that was, you rescued me from that. I know I made mistakes along the way, but you've rescued me from these things. Bishop made mention of David here today. Something that is just, a few weeks ago we talked about David for a few minutes, but something that has just resonated with me over the past few months about David and the Lord's hand upon his life. You know, by the time Bathsheba came along, David had been around for a while. He had a few wives. He had some sons that were, you know, ready to take the throne. But God chose a child that would come through Bathsheba to be the next in line. Don't discount or throw out or get rid of whatever God's doing in your life today. He has a plan in all of it. And he can take what I see as a mess and, oh, God, there's nothing for you in this. Let's just cast this off to the side. He says, no. I have a plan in that. Only he knows that. And that's why I have to stay connected to him. That's why I have to stay in relationship with him. And that's why I have to allow him to lead me in everything that I do. Amen. God bless you today. Thank you for being here. And we will see you back here on Wednesday night. 7 o'clock for prayer and Bible study.